You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Experiencing Revelation, the Tragedy and the Comedy of the Life of Jesus by Dr. Mike Merrill. Good morning, Dr. Mike Merrill. How are you?
Good morning, Red. I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you're a doctor of what?
Doctor of Ministry. It's the highest professional degree for pastoral ministers.
Okay, now you're talking to me. I'm a high school dropout. I went back, got my GED, and did some college. But sometimes I wonder about the super educated in Christianity and the necessity of that, to read the original Greek or the Hebrew or however the first scriptures were written. And then, of course, there are people that get on the street and harvest souls for Jesus. So I guess both are equally important. Am I correct?
That's a good point of view. Having a degree really is a compression of time more than anything. By enrolling in seminary and getting a degree from people far more educated than I, it allowed me to do in 3 years what might have taken me 20 to be able to accomplish. So it's really a compression of time that gave me a hand up, a better footing to be able to use the skills and abilities that God has shared with me more effectively.
Okay, now let me ask you this. When did you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I was 17 years old in high school in Cincinnati, Ohio. When I was 15, I watched my mother die. We were Ashkenazi Jewish family, no religion, no practice of Judaism at all. And when she developed serious cancers that were not abated, the family kind of withdrew from her. The philosophy of life is if you're healthy, wealthy, and skilled, you're blessed by God. And if you're sick and dying and poor, you're cursed of God. That's just the way God distributes his blessings through the world. When my mother got cancer, the rest of the family just kind of withdrew from having access to them. And it left me with huge questions that a 15-year-old and 16-year-old, I had a hard time even phrasing what the questions were. When I was 17, a girl that I knew who eventually became the valedictorian of my school was a born-again Christian, very devoted to God, a member of the United Methodist Church at the time, taught Sunday school, very intellectual, very articulate, and she boiled the entire discussion on Christianity not down to my guilt or my situation or my questions, but boiled it down to the resurrection of Jesus. And either he was risen from the dead or he wasn't. There was only two possibilities. And therefore, if he is risen from the dead, it actually changes everything that I experienced watching my mother die. And if he is not risen from the dead, then really we are in a hopeless situation. So she said, think about that, pray about that. I said, well, I don't know who I'm praying to. She goes, that doesn't matter, he knows you. And so I went out for a walk and became a Christian that night.
Wow.
That's... No sense of guilt, no awareness of sin. No theological background, no verses. I didn't own a Bible. She didn't quote any Bible verses to me. It really was the issue. When a human being dies, what happens? And the resurrection of Jesus answers that question.
Well, you didn't have to believe her, or you didn't have to believe that Jesus rose. What convinced you as a Jew? Now, was your mother a Jew and your father a Jew, or was just your mother a Jew?
No, my mother's Jewish. My father was an atheist.
Okay, so that, and of course, in Judaism, that means you are Jewish because if the mother is Jewish. Like, for instance, my brother fell in love with a girl, a little Jewish girl, and had two sons. So Eli and Jonah. Matter of fact, Eli's about to fly off to Israel this weekend for, I think they call it Eliyot or something like that. It's the free travel for any young Jewish person can go to Israel, and they pay all expenses, I guess, for a couple of weeks. He's all excited about going. But so you were Jewish, but this is kind of extraordinary that you would just, what made you believe her, that Jesus rose from the dead?
One of my main focal points of life was mathematics. And in mathematics, and I was in advanced K calculus and getting ready to go into engineering. I went to RIT also in 1971 for engineering, but by then my life had transformed so much I decided to go into clinical psychology and then into pastoral ministry. That's another different story. But mathematics, in calculating formula, there is a right answer and every other answer is wrong. And so the objective always is to have the numbers line up in accounting, to have the area correct when you're cutting wood, you do it mathematically. There's a right answer and every other answer is wrong. And watching my mother die left me with, when I was sitting in the hospital room, I was studying, I was 15 years old, I had the feeling or sense that somebody got up and left the room. There was only my mother was there on a heart-lung machine. She was in a coma, had been at home for 6 days, no outside connection, reflection, integration at all. And I was startled by that because I wasn't expecting, I didn't have any sense of the spiritual world. I wasn't looking for something to happen. I was just doing homework. And I had the sense that somebody got up and left the room. So I went out and found a nurse, explained to her what I had sensed something. She came in, checked the machines, which I also knew how to do. And her comment was, your mother probably just died. That was her soul leaving her body. And I had no idea what she was talking about. I mean, that didn't make any sense to me. So it left me with questions for which there were no answers. Now, of course, a 15-year-old kid, I'm talking to my friends. They're out partying and having a grand time, and we live very high society location in Cincinnati. They didn't want to talk about death and dying and what happens when the soul leaves the body. No way. I talked to their parents. I talked to anybody that my counselors at school, my teachers at school. They just shrugged their shoulders. I don't know. We go to heaven. Where is heaven? I don't know. It's up there. What goes on in heaven? I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, it was no answers to anything. And the questions that I had really were less what happens to me than philosophically what happens to human beings. What does it mean to be human? And one of the questions that arose for me, my mother had cancer. So there was a point at which they took out one of her lungs. She was a smoker, took out one of the lungs for lung cancer. And my reasoning was, though her lung has left her body, she's still 100% my mother. So she's still her. When they took out one of her kidneys for cancer, when they took out some of her digestive system, when they eliminated some of her skin, when she lost from 140 pounds down to about 80, she was still my mother 100%, though her body was declining. She was not the same as her body. Her body could leave, she still exists. Mm-hmm. And it left me with this philosophical question, well, now she's dead, the rest of her body joined the parts they cut off, she's still her, but I don't know where she is. And so no one wanted to talk about that. That was really the key question. And when my friend Karen said, the resurrection of Jesus, how could anyone testify, even to their own death, that Jesus is risen from the dead if that had not happened? And that was a question I couldn't. She finally just said, go out and ask God yourself. I mean, that was ultimately, it was back in my hands. Go ask God and God will answer you. And that's what I did that night. I'd never had a conversation like that prior to that day, but my mind worked mathematically. And if Jesus is risen from the dead, then I will follow him.
Well, did you take any castigating from other Jews that you would believe suddenly in Jesus as Messiah?
That's really interesting. Over the years, all kinds of people have said, oh, you're a converted Jew, you're a Messianic Jew, you're all these kind of things. You should be ministering to Jewish people. Jewish people see me as the ultimate traitor. You were Jewish, you turned your back, and now you're a Christian, and Christians have slaughtered Jews for thousands of years. You are now the enemy. People who are Gentiles have a greater platform to testify for Jesus than a converted Jew, in my experience. Now, that is not true of everyone, and there are some who are very insistent. Their ministry is true. Jews and to Israelites, but my experience has been There's a very
nobody has any excuse. Listen, I have to interrupt you because we are out of time for our short show. Don't forget, folks, you can hear the extended interview afternoons, and that's from 3 to 4 right here. And we're talking with Dr. Mike Merrill, Experiencing Revelation: The Tragedy and Comedy of the Life of Jesus. You can get that book everywhere. Experiencing Revelation: The Tragedy and Comedy of the Life of Jesus. I'm Rhett Palmer. Who loves you?
No, Lord, he said, you got the wrong guy. Simple conversation gets me tongue-tied, and you're telling me to speak with a maniac king. Or could it be I've lost my mind? And besides, I am weak. Don't you want someone strong to lead them out of Egypt when they've been there so long? And anyway, they won't believe you ever spoke to me. It's not your problem, God replied, and the rest is history. There's a bigger picture you can't see. You don't have to change the world, just trust in me. Your problem, God replied, 'cause there's a bigger picture.